Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you.
And welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And frankly, today you're going to be extra glad that you tuned in, because it's not just a fun story that you're going to get. You're going to get an extra double dose of Southern today, because frankly, I needed some more Southern in my life. So I went south of myself all the way to Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And I mean, I should probably tell y'all, it's only Yankees that say Mississippi. The rest of us that are normal say Mississippi because we save some syllables so that we can drawl about it. But I've got Paula Bram with us. Paula, welcome to the show.
Hey, Lee.
Y'all, you have to know that Paula is higher energy than I am. So anybody that thinks I have a lot of energy, you have not seen anything yet. So Paula, you're coming into the business into your sixth year, is that right, or fifth year?
I just finished my fourth year.
So there you go. So as realtors, we can just make numbers up, fifth, sixth year, doesn't matter. Heck, it might be 20 years, depending on who you're talking to, right?
Right. I actually met you, Lee. I'd had my license 4 days, and you were the keynote speaker in New Orleans at NARs, first time I ever met you. And I went up to you and said, oh my gosh, I feel like I've met someone who's just like me. And your response was, well, I sure am sorry to hear that.
And that was probably the same answer I would give you today, because the world doesn't need but so much. But it does need more Southern sass, Paula, I do think.
I agree.
All right, so listeners, just hold on to your hats, because if you listen to our previous Mississippi episode about ghosts and Ghostbusters and very strange situations, Paula has her own strange situation. So Paula, in your first, heading into your fifth year of real estate, which, by the way, in the corporate world, that's equivalent to like a 20-year pension time frame, because to survive in real estate beyond the first 2 years is pretty amazing when you realize that 85% of new realtors quit within the first 2 years. So we're actually not even joking when we say that you make it to your fifth year, it's a really big deal. So Paula, in that first, heading into fifth year, what would you say are the things that have happened that you never expected?
Well, I will say one thing that's been more helpful than I realized is my first job was a mental health nurse. I'm a registered nurse and worked in a psychiatric facility on and off for 20 years. I did not realize how helpful that would be. So my first year, I had a better year than expected, and a coworker said, you know, what's your secret? And I said, well, I did work in a mental hospital for 20 years. And she said, oh, I get it now. I get it. So the one lesson I think that I have learned is you have to know who's your customer and who's not your customer, but you also have to know that patience is key. And I have a particular transaction that it's been closed for a few months now, but I still find it is the craziest situation and taught me patience, because I wanted to fire the client a couple of times and my husband talked me out of it. He said, this person is going to buy a house. You've spent so much time with them. Do you want it to be with you, or do you want it to be with somebody else? So you want me just to launch into it?
I think you should, because if it doesn't come back to knowing who is your client and who's not, then I'm going to bring you back to that, because I bet that's a good story too if it doesn't get around to it. But roll with it, baby.
Yeah. So also, you know, we have to understand that there are things that are important to us as realtors and that we know are important. And then there are things that are important to our clients, and we sometimes just have to get them where they are. So this client was referred to me, and they were from out of town. They're from another state. And so also he worked nights a lot. So I was having to work around his schedule, previewing houses for him. And so over a few months, I kind of thought I had a feel for what he wanted, very particular. He had just built a very upscale home in another state that he actually never got to live in. He had a job change. So they had gone through the building process, put their house up for sale, had gotten a really good price for the house. So he's coming to my area and he wants to buy something. So we begin to look, and we would find a home, and then the wife and children would come and we would look at the home, and they would rule it out for one reason or another. And this rocked on for a long time, and I felt like I couldn't get a grasp for why are they crossing these properties off. And so we, you know, the budget changes, the scope changes, you know, the type, right? They say they want this and then they end up doing something completely different. And this client, everywhere we go, he would bring, and I don't even know the right name for it, Lee, it's some sort of electromagnetic meter that he, you know, we'd have to pull up on the side of the road, and he'd pull it out and he'd measure. If he saw any power lines or a power plant, he'd want to measure the, I don't know what.
Like that thing in Ghostbusters, where the tall skinny guy with glasses is running that little thing outside of buildings to find ghosts.
Yeah, well, I still don't know if it's a real thing. I guess it's a real thing, but if he saw any power lines, he'd have to measure whatever this is in the air because he felt it was, and then, hey, you know, maybe he knows more than I do. I'm no engineer. I'm no electrical consultant, but he had young children and he didn't want his children to be near power lines that emitted certain types of, we'll just say magic dust, right? Because I don't know what it was he was looking for. But so I think I'd find the right house and he'd get on Google Earth and he would look and he'd say, no, there's a power substation a quarter of a mile away. We can't live in that house. So then we'd find another house. And let me tell you, it wasn't easy because he had really nice taste. He just built a very, I'm talking, there are definitely affluent sections of Hattiesburg, but we are not an affluent overall, you know, city. Let me just say, compared to Dallas, Texas, for example, but we do have very nice homes here. So he was looking in $500,000 to $700,000 price range.
I like how you snuck that in there because some of our listeners are probably in parts of the country where they think everything in Mississippi is a trailer house. But carry on.
So I would, you know, find a diamond in the rough or, you know, this gem of a unicorn of a house, and he'd get on. Everything was always either the magic particle detector or Google Earth. So finally we find a house and wasn't on the market. You know, I'm working my magic behind the scenes, wasn't even on the market. And I take him, he's like, I'm ready to write an offer. He said, we are missing something. There is something that is too good to be true about this house. And I said, well, you know, if it is, I don't know it. I think it's perfect. And so of course the next day he emails me. I knew it. I knew it was too good to be true. There's a sewer treatment lagoon, you know, X number of feet away from the house. He found it on Google Earth. I can't live near the sewer treatment lagoon. Okay, so we go back to square one. We find another house, and he thinks it's perfect. He gets on Google Earth. There's a concrete rock plant a quarter of a mile away. And I said, you want to be patient. You want to be understanding. But sometimes you just have to scratch your head and say, so what? You know, and I really want to say a cuss word. I know I can probably do that on here, but so what, right? So what? So he says, well, I've lived near a concrete rock plant before, and
That's when you just want to say, nuh-uh, you have not.
Yes. It's for property values. And I said, well, actually, you know, my broker just bought a house in that area, and houses, they don't stay on the market very long in there. And I haven't heard a complaint in there, but, you know, his perception is his reality. So then I say, I think you should get an estimate on building the house, because everything he kept coming back to was he had this magic number in his head that he thought he could just build his house for X number of dollars. Well, I was married for 9 years to a residential contractor. I know a lot about building, and I knew that he was incorrect about what he thought he could build his house for here. We have excellent, excellent contractors. I mean, you don't come to a house built in Mississippi without extensive crown molding. Cabinetry is hand done on site. There's no prefab type houses where I live, all very skilled workers. So I said, let me get you set up with some reputable contractors. We'll get you some bids. And I bet a mistake dinner that his bid was not going to come in without a 7 in front of it. So we meet with some contractors and the bids start coming in, and sure enough, they all have a 7 in front of them. And I'd come home and I'd tell my husband, I'd say, I'm just going to have to let him go. I don't think I can make him happy. You know, I really don't think I can make him happy. And he said, my husband kept saying, he is going to buy a house. He is going to buy a house. Just be patient. You have worked so hard. Just be patient. So the neighborhood where we started, where he really wanted to live, is actually the neighborhood that I live in myself. And at the time, there were two houses being built. Both were custom homes. One was being built by the contractor for himself as his personal residence. The other was custom built for a client. One house gets finished, the people move in it. The builder himself, as his house nears completion, he decides that he is going to change plans. He ends up not moving in his own personal home that he built, so he puts his house up for sale. So my client says, I want to buy that house. But we all knew the price was really ridiculous. It was way too high. And we begin to negotiate. And I say to the builder, look, we've priced a build. We know what it cost. I also know what my neighbor's house across the street appraised for. It's the same builder, the same, you know, same year, same basic floor plan, pretty much, same pretty much square footage, same finish level. And I said, we just couldn't get there. I mean, we're talking $150,000 apart. We just couldn't, could not.
That's a whole house. That's a whole house apart.
Yeah, ridiculous. So I said, well, let us get an appraisal. You know, just let us get an appraisal. And he says, no, I'll get my own appraisal. And that's a whole nother crazy story that I can't even go into, which for fear of, you know, people will hear this. I'll leave off the details of why that was crazy. But the appraisal value was also ridiculous, and we knew that it was not valid. And this is months going on, this going back and forth with this contractor about his personal home. And I just was at my wit's end. And one day I'm out in the driveway getting the mail, and my neighbor, who I was also in Rotary with, I'm in Rotary Club of Hattiesburg here. So my neighbor walks down his driveway and he says, now granted, this neighbor has not lived, he custom built his home, had not lived in his home but about 8 months. He walks down this driveway and he says, well, did you hear the news? And I thought he was going to tell me his wife was pregnant or something. And I said, no, what? And he said, we're moving. And I said, what in the world? You just moved in your house. And he said, I've gotten this promotion. I can't turn it down. We're moving out of state. And I said, when can I show your house? I think I've got the perfect buyer for your house. I mean, I've been working with the client a year. This was 1 year in now. And within 36 hours, I had a contract on the house that is directly across the street from me. Our driveways are directly across from each other. And that client that I almost fired is now my neighbor. He's a wonderful person. He is not crazy. And he was never unkind, or he was never rude or mean or arrogant or anything like that. He just had very specific needs for his family, some of which, you know, were not my needs, I'll grant. But so that was one of the largest transactions I've closed in 4 years. And now he's my neighbor directly across the street. So I just think it's important for people to know that you are going to have clients that you run across that have, you know, needs that feel crazy. But they're very important to those people. And we just kind of have to get people where they are and be patient.
And it's also a reminder that sometimes when people get a little crazy during the house purchasing process, they're not necessarily 100% crazy, because he's turned out to be a great neighbor, even though he apparently was buying technology tools out of the Sky Mall magazine, because I bet that's where you can buy that energy detector.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also, we ran into an appraisal issue, and I know I'm not alone with experiencing trouble with appraisals, especially when you're talking about high dollar custom homes, because they don't transact in the MLS and we are in a non-disclosure state, which makes it even harder to find out what people paid for their homes. So when you're in a neighborhood where every house was custom built, we did have a problem with comps and we had a problem with our appraisal. But I truly, Lee, I'm not one of these people who believes everything happens for a reason. I think the universe is trying to teach me that that is so. But up to this point, I have really resisted that belief. But as I look back, I see that every single thing that happened throughout this whole process of working with this particular client just intersected beautifully. Because when we took the detour to say, look, you need to go price a build. And honestly, I never thought he'd end up building, because I just wanted him to see that the value was there of the homes that I was showing him. I wanted him to see that you're comparing these prices to a fantasy of what you think you can build your house for here. But because we took that detour and I hooked him up with some contractors, he was able to see, yes, it will cost me $750,000 to build this house here. So when we ran into an appraisal problem, he knew that the value was there. He knew it was still less than he could build the house for. And so he was willing to bring some money to the table to purchase the home. And without us having gone through all of those crazy avenues, he wouldn't have been so confident in that when it happened.
So there you go, people. Sometimes your spouse is right. We won't say that.
I will go on record and tell America my spouse is always right. He is 100%, even when I don't want him to be, always right. I tell him that all the time, but he has been an incredible supporter and encourager, and his advice is always good. And I got him a nice thank you. He's a guitar man, so he got a nice new guitar for encouraging me to be patient with this particular client, because it paid off well in the end.
So we have a lot of takeaways from this, listeners. First of all, if you are a buyer, then understand why your realtors sometimes get frustrated when y'all can't figure out what you want, because we do want to please you, but it's hard for us to please you when you keep changing gears. But then realtors sometimes remember that your clients change gears because they don't know what they want until you fully educate them with every angle. And then sometimes it takes that lucky moment where you have those little tentacles out in the community and you find out about the right property when it happens. And as a realtor, don't forget the sticky wicket we live in, where you have to take that leap of faith and sell the house across the street from you to somebody you don't know, and just have to hope you turn them into a good neighbor, because, you know, that's a whole different angle on real estate that we don't talk about that very much. You have to be willing to move somebody into the right house for them and make them your own neighbor and see what happens.
So the builder who would not be reasonable about his price, he ended up, of course, after over a year on the market, and I gave him all of the market data I could possibly give him about his price point and everything. He ended up having to move in his house, and so now he lives next door to the person who would have bought his house if he had been reasonable about his price. So now they're neighbors also, which is also hilarious to me.
So be nice to people, basically. Live a life where you're nice to people, because you don't know who your neighbor's going to be. How about that?
That's good. That's right.
All right. So I guess we'll headline your podcast episode, the Be Nice to People, because there's a reason. Hey, Paula, if somebody's looking for an amazing realtor in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, or frankly anywhere in your amazing state, because I know you got people, how can they find you?
Lots of ways. The best way is to call or text me at 601-606-6686. Yes, that's a lot of sixes.
I was about to say that. I'm like, my Baptist hackles just went up on the back of my neck.
Also, my office, which I'm required by the Mississippi Real Estate Commission to tell you, my office number is 601-268-1600 at Realty Executives, the executive team, or online at paulabrancan.com. That's Paula, BRAHANCAN.com.
Hey, you know, I love that you are a rule follower for the Real Estate Commission. And by the way, if you're a regular buyer or seller out there, you should always be keeping an eye open for these realtors that you select and make sure they're rule followers, because that will tell you a lot about how they abide by correct procedures in dealing with real estate and how they know their contracts. Now, I know that you people who were listening had Bran in your head like Raisin Bran, but it's okay, because that's not how you spell it. But her name is spelled correctly in the show notes for this episode, where you will also find all of her contact information and a lovely headshot of hers that you recognize her when you see her in the streets. Paula, thank you for coming on the show, and thank you for all your energy that you're putting back into sharing in the real estate community.
Thank you. I am super pleased to be on and love everything you do. Thank you, ma'am.
Wait a minute. You better tell Joe hey before you get off the episode. He'll have his feelings hurt.
Oh, Joe Hartzell. Hello. How are you, sweet Joe?
See, y'all, Joe's an agent in my office, and he and Paula became friends, and so we did not want Joe to feel left out. So this is now an official test to see if Joe listens to this episode. So if y'all are listening and you need a shout out, you should hit me at Lee Brown on Twitter to be featured in a future episode if you have your own crazy story to tell about real estate and this amazing profession that we call home. Subscribe for more, and we will see you next time.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes, and as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.